I want to read just a little bit tonight from the book of Revelation. I want to point out something to you just before we get to the scripture that we're going to read from. But I want to read from another passage of scripture rather than the one I'm reading from here so far as the text. But I just want to call your attention to something here. Some of you are familiar with the Revelation, and you're familiar with what I say when I say the Revelation. In the book of Revelation, if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to the first chapter. And I've pointed this out on numbers of occasions, and I'd like to point it out again tonight. Sometimes people question me, in their spirit as to why that I preach the revelation of Jesus Christ. Why do you preach that? Where do you get that in the Bible? And what causes you to preach the revelation of Jesus Christ? Reading in the first chapter, the first part of the book of Revelation, the first verse, the first thing that you'll notice if you've got your Bibles, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. I notice that now, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he said and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. If you notice, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto him. Now, let me say this. A lot of people would say, Brother Pike, that is the revelation of Jesus Christ. But in that is the revelation of Jesus Christ, that is all there is to the revelation of Jesus Christ. And inasmuch as the Bible tells us that if any man add to this or take away from the writings of this book, should he add to it, the plagues of the book be added unto him. Should he take away, his part should be taken out of the book of life. And as much as God has said this, then that means that that being the revelation of Jesus Christ, that that is all there is to the revelation of Jesus Christ. But if that is true, then I ask the question again. What does Paul the Apostle mean when Paul is preaching the gospel? And Paul, he terms it as the revelation of Jesus Christ. You read in Paul's writings, and Paul calls it the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yet Paul says something altogether different from what John says. It's altogether different. And yet I say again, it is not different in that it is line upon line and precept upon precept. It is one gospel, the same gospel. But nevertheless, it is different in that it is not the book of Revelation, nor that which John has said. Therefore, we see the revelation of Jesus Christ is not confined to just one writing. The revelation of Jesus Christ was given to Paul, and Paul said, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh because of my much revelation. And he terms it the revelation of Jesus Christ. Therefore, today, the revelation of Jesus Christ is the same. God is moving by his great spirit. He is revealing things today, and he is making known to us the wonderful revelation of Jesus the Christ. All right, that's why we call it the revelation of Jesus Christ. The writer tells us that we should pray that God would grant unto us the Spirit of Revelation. Now, I want to read just a little bit from chapter 10 of the book of Revelation, and then I want to comment just a little on it. And I want you to think upon it. It makes it a little difficult for us to preach in here to where you can understand clearly because of the acoustical effect. Our brother Paul had an acoustical ceiling in here that gave us the right sound, but they made him take it out because of fire. They were afraid that it would be a fire hazard, so they made him remove it. Therefore, it gives an echo. Now, therefore, when I preach, a lot of times I get to saying my words kind of hurriedly, and when I get to saying my words kind of hurriedly, then it all gets to rolling together. I have to say something and then stop and let it level off, you know. Otherwise, the building here is excellent for preaching. If it had the acoustical ceiling back, it would be ideal. Now, so if I get in a hurry, you know, and it gets a little scrambled up, you just bear with me. All right, let's read just a little bit from the Revelation of Jesus Christ in chapter 10, beginning down at the first verse. Now let's read it together. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. In the seventh verse of the tenth chapter, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. All right, now, let me talk to you for just a few minutes concerning this. Now, many things I could say about this that I'm fixing to speak of, and we could get into a great disputation, but we're not going to do that. The Bible said, receive the weaker brother, but not to be doubtful of him, or that is to doubtful disputation, or not to dispute with him all the time, but rather to strengthen him and to help him. So then we don't come here to preach to you, to dispute with you. We come here to try to help you and cause you to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know there's some things that preachers are going to say that your mind is going to try to cast off, and there's going to be a disputation arise in your thinking because you have your conviction. But you know, a wise man, the Bible teaches that just a word of wisdom is sufficient for the wise. You can reprove a wise man, rebuke a wise man, instruct a wise man, he'll grow in wisdom, and he will love you. But you can rebuke a fool, and you will get yourself a blot. Isn't that right? And so then tonight I judge you to be wise men. And Paul said, I speak unto you as unto wise men, that you might hear the words I say and judge the words I say. And if you have differences and if you have convictions that are contrary, I trust that you will take those convictions to God and take them to the Word of God and make comparison with the Word of God and see what God has to say about it. And that's what I expect you to do. Is that all right? Now, the Bible says in the 10th chapter, the 7th verse, and in the days of the voice of the 7th angel, when he begins to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. I tell you again, in the original rendering, I've checked it. It says, the secret of God shall be finished. In the days of the sounding of the voice, or the trumpet of God, the 7th angel, in that day, the mystery of God, or the secret of God, will be finished. Now, when you say the sounding of the 7th angel, or the 7th trumpet, then the question arises in our mind, what do you mean by the 7th angel, or the 7th trumpet? Many of you know because I've talked to you about it. Some of you do not know. Therefore, I speak to you tonight concerning this, that you might be edified in the Scriptures. When he speaks of the 7th angel, he is speaking of the last angel that was to sound, speaking of the 7 angels that was given trumpets when God started the sounding, as you read it in the 8th chapter of the book of Revelation. And John in the 4th chapter, being caught up in the heaven as he saw a door open in heaven, there he saw one that sat upon the throne to look upon his jasper. There he saw the 4 beasts about the throne. There he saw the one with the seal book. And then he saw as the seals began to be opened. And then it continued on till he beheld 144,000 that was sealed in the earth. And then a great multitude that no man could number, there standing before the throne of God, that evidently had been raptured out of this world. Now, when John saw this, he looked and he said, I saw something else. I saw an angel walk over, take a little censer. He filled it with the prayers of the saints. He took a coal from the little golden altar before God. He put it in that censer. He walked back, and as he walked back, he got ready to throw this into the earth. And when he got ready to throw the censer into the earth, the Bible tells us that he looked and 7 angels, John looked and 7 angels that had 7 trumpets stood ready to sound when the censer was thrown into the earth. Now it is my conviction that the censer indicated the end of the days of the Gentiles. You say, what does that mean, Brother Pike? Brother and sister, it means an awful lot to me because I've been watching the revelation of Christ for many years. And it is at this point of life, even being here in this arena, that at this very time, that angel is getting ready to cast that censer into the earth that is filled with the wrath and the indignation of God. That's what this meeting has to do with here in Atlanta. So then, he took the censer, he walked over, he threw it into the earth, and when he threw it into the earth, the Bible said there was lightnings. There was thunders. There was an earthquake. I believe that when that censer went into the earth, though you won't see the censer, though you won't see the angel, yet you will see the results that John saw, when that censer went into the earth, I believe that the lightning and the thundering and the earthquakes that John saw was the nations coming together in their conflict, in their atomic warfare. I believe that it will be the atomic warfare of the nations, and as they hurl the missiles, as they drop the bombs, that will be the flashes of the lightning that John saw, that will be the thundering that John heard, and the earth will reel and rock like a drunk man. This is what John saw, just as sure as you're sitting in here tonight. John saw this. I saw him hurl the censer into the earth, John said. And then there was lightnings, there was thunderings, and there was earthquakes. About that time, there was 30 minutes of silence in heaven just prior to this great shaking. 30 minutes of silence. I believe that the 30 minutes of silence was the blood coming off of the mercy seat. I believe that the 30 minutes of silence was the blood coming off of the mercy seat. That blood coming off of the mercy seat meant that the days of the Gentiles was over and finished. And I believe that the days of the Gentiles are over and finished. I know that you cannot believe that. And when I say that, I don't mean like tonight. But the things that happened last night, Brother Walden being here, watching the revelation, even that last night, pointed to the end of the days of the Gentiles. Tonight points to the days ending with the Gentile people. The church ages are at an end. Everything is at an end. There's people that believe that the man called William Branham was the last church age messenger, and that with him the church ages closed out. Whether that's true or whether that's false, there is one thing for sure. The revelation of Christ Jesus shows that the end of the church ages are here, and that the end of the days of the Gentiles are here, and that God is about to pour out his wrath because God is getting ready to move the blood off of the mercy seat. And when the blood is moved off of the mercy seat, that God is going to let that censer come whirling into the earth, and the nations are going to tie up in atomic warfare, and there's going to be lightning, there's going to be thunderings, there's going to be earthquakes. It is evident that this is fixing to happen. We can look at it in the natural, and we can tell that we're on the verge of this just by looking at it in the natural. But when we look at it in the spiritual, the seventh verse of that 10th chapter, it says, "And the seventh angel sounded. When this censer was thrown into the earth," all of a sudden the Bible says, in the 8th chapter, "one of the angels raised the trumpet to sound." Now I want you to notice this, that when the first angel got ready to sound, just prior to that, God had a great multitude in heaven standing before his throne. John said, "I saw a great multitude standing before the throne of God." In the 7th chapter, 144,000 Jews were sealed. John said, "I looked into the earth, and I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, and they were holding back the four winds of the earth, And I heard a voice as an angel said, see that you hurt nothing on the earth till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And so John said, I looked in the earth, and 144,000 was sealed, 12,000 out of each tribe of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And then, after that, John looked away to heaven, and he changed his eyes from looking in this direction at the earth, where the sealing of the Jews was. He looked away to heaven, and when he looked into heaven, he said, behold, I saw a great multitude that no man could number, of all kindreds, nationalities, nations, tongues. I saw them standing before God, and I heard the Lamb speaking to them. I saw him wipe the tears from their eyes. I saw him offer consolation, and it was said unto them that thou shalt weep no more. The heat of the day shall be upon thee no more, and whithersoever the Lamb goes, thither shall ye go, and he shall wipe the tears from your eyes, and he shall lead you to fountains of living water. I believe that that was the church. In the fourth chapter, when the doors open, John goes up into heaven, and then John sees in the seventh chapter this great multitude standing before the throne of God. It is evident that it is the rapture of the church and the sealing of the Jews in the earth. 144,000, it makes it evident that the tribulation period is about to break forth, and so God, in rapturing the church, seals the 144,000. And then 30 minutes of silence in heaven makes it evident that the blood that's on the mercy seat is fixing to be taken off, for the angel reaches for the censer, and into the earth comes the wrath of God, and the earth begins to reel and rock like a drunk man, and there is lightnings, there is thunderings, and the Bible teaches at that moment the angels throw up their trumpets and they get ready to sound. Seven angels, they're ready to sound their trumpets. So the first angel sounds, and the Bible said there comes down from heaven fire mingled with hail. And the Bible goes on to say that as these angels sound, the waters was turned to blood, and the waters became bitter. And a third part of that which was in the sea, it died, and a third part of the trees was burnt up. And then it goes on to say, as these angels sounded, it says that the bottomless pit was open, and out of the bottomless pit came locusts. And it goes on to state the horrors of the sounding of these trumpets. God began to move. God began to pour out his wrath. God began to call men into question. God had taken the church out, and God was bringing his vengeance upon mankind because they had neglected to obey the Holy Spirit and to serve the living Christ. And so then the last three of the seven of those trumpets, we hear a voice saying, whoa, 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 by reason of the three trumpets that are yet to sound. So then the three woes that Revelation speaks of is the last three of the seven trumpets. After four of those trumpets sounds, then we find there's three trumpets yet to sound. And then the great woes start. And the great woes, as I said, have to do with those locusts coming out of the bottomless pit. And when the second angel of the three woes sound, which is the sixth angel of the seven, all of a sudden after he sounds, there is the divine intervention, and there comes an angel down from heaven, and he stands with one foot on the land, and he stands with one foot on the sea, and he raises his hand to heaven and swears by him that liveth forever and ever that time shall be no more. This great angel that John saw that come down, one foot on the land, one foot on the sea, there he saw him standing with his hand raised to heaven. John said he had a little book in his hand. He had a rainbow about his head. And he had this little book in his hand. And the angel turned to John. And John said, I heard seven thunders utter their voice. And I was about to write what the thunders had said. You know, it's evident that John knew what the thunders were saying, because he said, I was fixing to write the things that the thunder said. That means that those things which the thunder said are known to mankind. They are not hid. They are known to mankind in the sense that they are available. The Bible said the secret things belong unto God, but those things that are revealed belong unto mankind and their children. Those thunders was revealed to John. John being a human being, God is no respect of person. John being typical of the church, he heard those thunders. He understood those thunders, but God would not let him write those thunders. Therefore, they are not penned in the scripture so far as a written word. But they are contained in the scriptures, in that everything that God ever done is concealed within the word Jesus Christ and can be found and can be revealed if we look for it according to the word of God. The thunder sounded, and when these thunders sounded, John was about to write. But the voice said, John, don't write those thunders. Seal up those thunders. Why should I seal up those thunders? John could have said. He said, seal up those thunders. Why should John seal up the thunders? Because he said, there is another voice that's going to sound. You've heard six trumpets, but there is yet another trumpet that is going to sound. And when this trumpet sounds, then the mystery of God will be finished. When this trumpet sounds, there won't be any more secrets. The secret of God will be made known. When this other voice sounds, the last of the three woes, the last of the seven angels, when this trumpet sounds. Now the Bible says, lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people of their sins. When the trump of God sounds, when the last trump sounds, when the last angel sounds, when the last of the seven sounds, then the mystery of God should be finished. Now, in Revelation 10 and 7, he said, in the days of the voice, John, the mystery will be finished. The revelation will be finished in the days of the voice. In the 10th chapter, the 7th verse, John, don't write the thunders, for in the days of the voice, then when he begins to sound the mystery of God, it shall be finished as God hath declared unto his prophets. Now, notice this. In 10 and 7, he makes this statement. Immediately, in Revelation, the 11th chapter, the 15th verse, what do we find? The angel begins to sound. The last angel begins to sound. The last voice begins to sound. 7 and 10, he said, John, get ready. When he sounds, it's going to wind everything up. The mysteries are going to be finished. 11:15, and the Bible said he sounded, and the voice sounded, hallelujah, in 11:15, and the voice sounded, and the voice immediately following said, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. When the voice sounded, he said, it's the end of the way. He said, it's the end of the trail. John said, I looked away to heaven, and he said, I began to see something. In this 11th chapter, God had spoke about the two prophets coming on the scene, telling them to measure the temple, to leave the outer courts. And then immediately in Revelation 12, as John looks away after the sounding of these thunders, as he looks away to heaven, just immediately he sees a great wonder in heaven. The Bible said a woman clothed with the sun. There she was clothed with the sun. She had this great brilliance about her. She had 12 stars upon her head. She stood with the moon under her feet. And the Bible said she was travailing greatly to bring forth. And there she stood in the heavens. And the Bible said that there was a great red dragon waiting to devour the child just as quick as it was born. But the Bible said when the child was born, immediately God caught it up to the throne. He caught it up to the throne. Now this is really a beautiful thing. And I wish we had time to preach on it tonight. But just saying a few words concerning it here tonight. Here is a great pictorial thing. Look at America today. Here is the woman nation. She's travailing to bring forth her leader. She's been travailing president after president. And there's the great red dragon of communist China laying in there ready to devour, to get that leader just as quick as it is born. Look at that leader that came over here while Jimmy Carter was in office. You know, we use the term JC, Jesus Christ, Jimmy Carter. About that time comes the red dragon. What was it all about? It was that very coming that caused the people to turn against Jimmy. When he let a murderer come into America and stand up there and do the things that was done, reaching to devour the man-child just as quick as he is born. We see a beautiful picture of it. Where was this? The Bible said the woman had her feet upon the moon. What is it that America has emphasized? The footprints on the moon. Why did it happen in this season? Why did it happen in another season? Though thou makest thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. Speaking of the red dragon, I shall cast thee down to hell. Though thou makest thy nest among the stars, I will cast thee down to hell. And the Bible said when the red dragon went out, he curled his tail around a third part of the stars, and down to the earth he went, walking on the moon, for she had her feet upon the moon. When they landed, they called it the little nest. When they went with their spaceship, they set down the little thing on the moon. What did they call it? They called it the nest. Though thou makest thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. Though thou climbest up to heaven, from thence I shall cast thee out. And so then, when we see this great thing take place, the Bible said as in earth, so in heaven. That means that there is a spiritual thing happening. If this natural thing is happening, and if the mind of God reveals in this hour the natural thing that is taking place, then Paul said all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world, they're clearly understood by the things which do appear. And so then if the natural thing shows it to the mind of God, if it's revealed to the church, then somewhere in the spirit, somewhere, there's got to be a spiritual thing that's taking place. Somewhere or another, there is something spiritual that is taking place. That means that somewhere, there is a spiritual man-child getting ready. There is the birth of a spiritual man-child. Somewhere there is a spiritual image that's coming forth. Somewhere the church of the living God is in hard travail. You say, Brother Pike, what makes you think that the church is in travail? The church is in travail today like it never has been before in the history of the world. Not in the sense of bringing forth sons and daughters, as the Bible said when Zion travailed, she brought forth her sons and daughters, but in the sense of oppression, in the sense of the darkness that's coming down upon her, in the sense of persecution, in the sense of the red dragon laying, waiting to devour, to take the child just as quick as it's born. I'll get a repercussion out of this for sure, but I want you to listen. Brother, the church today is in travail. What is it? In the days of the travail of the woman, as Mary carried the child and was heavy with child, they took her up to Jerusalem for the taxing. Never before had the church been taxed in America, but all of a sudden the church is being taxed. Why? Because it is that hour of travail, that great moment of the man-child coming forth. It's right here at this moment. Where is the red dragon? If we see the church in travail, Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. The church travails. Christ is being formed within you. I travail till Christ be formed within you. Ministers are fasting. Ministers are praying. Ministers are seeking God. Ministers are travailing. And people that love God are fasting and praying and travailing till Christ be formed within the church. So then tonight, here we stand, the man-child ready to be born. The man-child ready to come forth. Why? Because the church is heavy with child. The church is heavy with child. The church is about to bring forth. What is it? We're looking at it. Here it is. The Bible said that the woman had her foot upon the moon. Her feet was upon the moon. What does that mean to us? What does it mean to us in the revelation of Jesus Christ? Her feet was upon the moon. Today we see it as America in the natural. But what does it mean to us? The law and the prophets. The law and the prophets. Founded upon the law and the prophets. Built up upon the law and the prophets. The lesser light, the veiled light, there it stands, knowing that Israel fits this description in the natural, and that a natural nation one day will be born. We see it happening to Israel. But before we come to the hour of the nation born in one day that has to do with Israel, we see the spiritual Jew. For the Bible said, he that is a Jew outwardly is not a Jew, but he that is a Jew inwardly, he is the true Jew. So we see the spiritual Jew. We see him founded upon the law and the prophets. When we look for the crown of life, we see that that woman had 12 stars upon her head. What was that 12 stars? It was the crown of life. What kind of life? Jesus said, my words are spirit, my words are life. What was the 12 stars? The teachings of the apostolic leaders, the 12 apostles' teachings that crowns her intellect, the teaching, the tutoring of the 12 apostles that lives in her mind, that they've indoctrinated her with. And what is it? It is the words of God, which is the words of life. It is a crown of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She's crowned with a crown of life. Jesus said that he that overcometh, I will give unto him a crown. What kind of a crown? A crown of life. When we look at this, the Bible said she was clothed with the sun. What is the sun? When Jesus was resurrected in the first part of the revelation of Jesus Christ, we see John standing here, and the Bible said he looked and he beheld, and the Son of God, the Son of Man, there he stood, the Alpha and the Omega. He stood there in the midst of the candlesticks, and the Bible said it was as though the sun shined within his strength. What was the woman's adorning of the sun? It was the Holy Ghost that was in her. It was the infilling of the Holy Ghost. It was that same radiating light that came from Moses in that day when they had to put a veil over Moses because he was so bright the people could not look at him. So then it was the glory of God. What is that glory? The Bible teaches when one Son of God is unveiled, he will outshine the noonday sun. Tonight, if just one Son of God, if you could unveil him tonight, the sun would never shine anymore. He would be so bright, he would be so brilliant with this inner treasure of this glory of God that's on the inside, that the sun would never shine again. Just one Son of God. The woman had the glory of God. She was glorified. The Bible says that ye are justified by faith. The Bible said ye are sanctified by the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ by which ye are sanctified. The Bible says that ye are glorified, for God hath glorified you. Therefore, we are not waiting for a glorification. We are not waiting for Christ to do something to glorify us. We are not waiting for a glorification to where this great glory can be upon us. But brother, sister, we are waiting to receive the message and the understanding that will enlighten us to the fact that God has already done this great thing. And the faith that will come from this message, that will cause this glory to break forth as it did in the days of Moses to swallow up this outer man. For we have already this heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels. We already have this glory. We already have this treasure. It's already in our earthen vessels. We are already glorified. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that you're already glorified? I mean to tell you that I've already passed from death unto life, that I shall never come into condemnation, that I'm justified, that I'm sanctified, that I'm glorified. You say, but Brother Pike, when a man gets glorified, then that means he will never age. When a man gets glorified, that means he'll never get sick. When a man's glorified, that means that he is eternal. That's exactly what I'm saying tonight. I realize that this glory must break forth in this outer being. I realize that this glory must swallow up this veil. I realize that the glory of God that's on the inside of us, that's glorified the inner man, must break forth, and this outer man, which the Bible calls the purchased possession or the redemption of the body, I realize that this man must be partakers of it. But what I'm trying to tell you tonight is that we're not waiting for God to do that. We're not waiting for Christ to do that. We're not waiting for that to come. We are trying to find the message of God and the faith of God that comes from that message, that we might release this that we already have in God as this greatness comes forth from within to glorify and redeem this outer being. Now, the woman was clothed with the sun. This is the great hour. Oh, hallelujah. This is the great moment. You know, when you're waiting to become a millionaire and you long to become a millionaire, that's one thing. When you're trying to become a millionaire, that's one thing. But my beloved brother, when you wake up to the fact that you are already a millionaire, hallelujah, and that your father just left you a million and you already own the million, then that's a day of rejoicing. That's a time of rejoicing, because that makes the heart glad. I tonight am thankful because I pass from death unto life. I'm not waiting to pass from death unto life. I'm not waiting to become a god. Jesus said, you're gods. You're gods. You're gods. Can you conceive tonight of the idea that you're gods? Jesus said, you're gods, but you shall die like men because of the lack of knowledge. But you're gods. Oh, my brother, can you accept the idea tonight? Can you accept the word tonight? Can you believe the word tonight? You say, what kind of word is that, Brother Pye? The word that ye are gods. Now, let me say this again. I've said it so many times. Jesus said, for what good work do you stone me? They said, for a good work, we don't stone you. For what then do you stone me? Said, you being a man. You being a man. You being a man. The man Christ Jesus. You being a man. You make yourself God. You make yourself God. You make yourself God. For this we stone you. Jesus made another staggering statement. He said, folks, I was back there with Abraham. They really got tore up. They said, you mean you're not yet 50 years old and you've seen Abraham? He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Abraham saw my day. And he rejoiced to see my day. Back there under the oak of Mamre, when Jesus walked up to Abraham and entreated him, and as they looked out over Sodom and Gomorrah together, and Abraham said to the Son of God, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Jesus said, I stood there talking to him. I sat there with him under the oak of Mamre. We ate together. Hallelujah! Hallelujah, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Glory to God, there he was, Jehovah himself, coming down to visit the earth. He said, Abraham, I hear it's pretty bad down in Sodom and Gomorrah. I hear it's a wicked place down there around Atlanta, Georgia. Are you listening? They tell me it's a bad place. I'm getting some reports about it. But Abraham, I've come down to look for myself. I've come down to size it up myself. I've come down to look for myself. I heard about the report, and I've heard this for a long time, but I've come to take a look myself. You have seen Abraham, and you're not yet 50 years old. Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. They took up stones to stone him. Said, you being a man, you make yourself God. But Jesus said unto them, before Abraham was, I am. He said, is it not written in the scriptures that I have called ye gods? Is it not written in the scriptures that I have called ye gods? Have you ever went back and turned into the scriptures? Have you ever went back and looked in the scriptures? Have you ever took Jesus at his word and checked the scriptures to see if it's written that you're gods? My brother, I've read it in that Old Testament that Jesus referred to. He said, ye are gods, but ye shall die like men because of the like of the understanding of who you are. Ye shall taste death, you say, Brother Pike, but if you was a God, you couldn't die like a man. But I beg the difference with you. Jesus was God, but he died like a man. He was God, very God. God manifested in the flesh, but he died like a man. He didn't die like a man from lack of knowing who he was. He died like a man so Brother Pike wouldn't have to die the death of a man. So I could recognize Godship and bypass that grave to keep him from throwing the dirt in our face. Somebody would say, now, Brother Pike, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment, and all men must die. I agree to that, but I don't find anywhere in the scriptures where it says it's appointed unto sons of God to die. I don't find in this place in the scriptures where it's appointed unto gods to die. It says men must die, men must die, men must die because of sin, because of sin, because of sin, my brother. No man can see God and live. No man can see God, but it doesn't say sons of God cannot see God. It doesn't say that God cannot see God, but no man has seen God at any time, nor can see God. Christ Jesus alone, dwelling in that light, having immortality, He is the one that makes us bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. What a mind, what a revelation, what an understanding, what a faith it will produce, my brother. Did you know that when the Word of God comes, that it produces a believing? Did you know that everything that your intellect conceives, it brings forth a believing? Let's look at it just for a few minutes more now. What a message. What a revelation. Do you understand? Do you understand, beloved friend, that whatever comes to your intellect will produce fruits? And the Bible says that God will feed you the fruits of your thinking. Did you know that your thoughts produce fruits? Did you know that you are a fruit tree? And that you are either a tree of life or you are a tree of death? And people that eat from your tree, they die or they either live. Did you know that you are in the garden of God? And that you are either a tree of life or you are a tree of death? And that your thoughts produces death or your thoughts produces life? To be carnally minded is to be devilish minded, because the devil loves the things that are carnal. To be carnally minded, to be fleshly minded, to be worldly minded, to be materially minded, the Bible said, of such ye shall die. For that is thoughts that produces death. And when you project that and help people to get more interested in that, you are producing the things of death. But when you have the mind of Christ, and the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says concerning the church, ye have the mind of Christ. When you have the mind of Christ, then you are producing thoughts of the Spirit, thoughts of heavenly things, thoughts of godly things, thoughts of righteousness, thoughts of virtue, thoughts of purity. You are producing thoughts that give forth fruits unto life. And beloved friend, God also feeds you the fruits of your thoughts. God does that. He feeds you the fruits of your thoughts. For the Bible said, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. If with your words, if with your deeds, if with your doings, if with your thinking, you lead souls into sin or into captivity to the powers of Satan, then God will allow you to feed off of the thoughts of death, and you will go into captivity. But beloved friend, if you loose those from captivity, if you break the yoke of bondage, if you lead them to liberty, lead them to life, God will let you go into life. Therefore, God will feed you the fruits of your thoughts. What are you thinking tonight? What are you thinking tonight? What have you thought upon today? What are you going to think upon tomorrow? What did you think upon yesterday? God is feeding you the fruits of your thoughts. So then you're going to feed upon the fruits of your thoughts. That is why that it is necessary for me as a minister of God to program your mind according to the Holy Scriptures. That is why it is important for me to be a mouthpiece for God, that it be not me that speak, but the Heavenly Father that speaketh from within me, that all the world can keep silent as God speaks from within His temples, whose temples ye are. It is important for me that my mind be the mind of Christ, and that it be God speaking, that the Scripture may be fulfilled, that they shall all be taught of God. For the Bible said, it shall not be you that speak, but it shall be your Heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. Therefore, I must program your minds accordingly. Faith cometh by the hearing of the thoughts, and the thoughts must be the right thoughts. If you have thoughts of lust, then you're going to have an impure heart. And God will not purify your heart by faith, because the wrong thoughts doesn't produce the right believing. But when you have the right thoughts, it produces the right kind of believing. And when you keep a clean heart and a clean mind, you have a pure heart. And the Bible said, the pure in heart shall see the Holy Spirit. The pure in heart through eyes of understanding, in that you understand with your heart. Solomon said, give me a heart of understanding, the pure in heart that has eyes of understanding that can be enlightened, will see the great, wonderful Holy Spirit. That is, the pure in heart shall see God. God is a spirit. You must see God through the eyes of your understanding. You must be pure in heart to be able to see God, beloved friend. So then, no man can live and see God. He must become dead to the flesh. The Bible said, they that belong to God have mortified the deeds of the body with the lust and the affections thereof. Now listen, to program your mind with the right kind of thinking. Why should you think right? You must think right. You must think right. Why does man die? Why does man die? Because his mind is programmed wrong. His mind is programmed wrong. When God created Adam and Eve, he programmed their mind right, and they could stay alive as long as they abode within the Shekinah. I say again, Adam did not have eternal life. Eve did not have eternal life. If they had eternal life, they would never have died. But they were in the presence of the Shekinah, which means that they could have lived eternally as long as they would have abode within them, because the Shekinah caused them to think right. It caused them to think right. But when Satan, when Lucifer enticed Eve, when he led her astray, and when Adam followed, Lucifer reprogrammed their mind. Lucifer put an intellectual veil of sleep or death over their mind. Lucifer brought a covering of death, a spirit of darkness. And God said, you cover with a covering, but not of me. You've left the covering of the mind of Christ. You've left the covering of the Shekinah. I said the other night, they were under condemnation. Why were they under condemnation? Somebody said, the Bible said, because they were naked, they were under condemnation. My brother, sister, they were not under condemnation because they were naked. I say again, they were naked to begin with, and they were not under condemnation. When God made them that way, they were naked and they were not under condemnation. Therefore, being naked was not what made them under condemnation. But my brother, when they lost the covering of the Shekinah glory of God, when their hearts on the inside, when that heart on the inside got under condemnation, when that heart on the inside began to get impure, when the ugly thoughts of evil begin to infiltrate, and when that soul and that heart begin to think contrary to God, they begin to fall under condemnation, because the Shekinah covering was taken away. That's where they were naked. They were naked in their spirits. They lost the Shekinah covering of the garment of God. That's why God left them naked in the natural to start with, because he knew they was going to be naked in their innermost being. And therefore, God wanted them to know. And when God finally put skins on them, what did he do? He covered their nakedness with skins. Why did he do that? He wanted them to know that they were nothing more than a beast. That's why scientists say they're nothing more than a man that comes from a monkey. That's why scientists are always trying to trace their heritage back to a monkey. That's why they're always following their descendants back to a tadpole, because that's where they come from. But I say again, we didn't come from monkeys. We're sons of God. We're daughters of God. We're not trying to trace our descendants back to a baboon. I didn't come from a baboon. I come from God. I'm a son of God. The Bible said John was a man sent from God. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. I'm not going to spend my time arguing with a bunch of people that feels like their daddy's a baboon. If they come from a baboon, then they're a baboon. Let them be a baboon. If that's the way they feel about it, then that must be what they are. According to you believe, and Jesus said, so be it unto you. If you believe your dad is a monkey, then that's what you are. But brother, I come from God and I'm a son of God. I'm not a son of a monkey nor a son of a baboon. I don't believe in Darwin's theory of evolution. I think it's crazy. But not for them. I'm talking about sons of God. Sons of God. After all, they know what they are. I know what I am. All right. Now, what caused the problem? The tree of intellectual reasoning. What was the veil of death? The tree of intellectual reasoning. What caused death? Why do men die? Because they think wrong. They think wrong. Their mind is programmed wrong. Lucifer programmed their minds wrong, and shame and condemnation came into their hearts and cut them off from the spirit of life, which is the spirit of the Shekinah glory of God. They lost their covering. Is that right? All right. Then came Jesus, the Son of God. Then came Jesus the Christ. Jesus said, now I've died for you. Oh, hear me, folks. I died for you. I paid the price. I've taken off the skin of this covering. I've taken it off. I've taken off this veil of corruption. I've taken it off. I'm going to lay it aside. The woman took Joseph. She grabbed Joseph, but Joseph wrestled himself out of her hands, and he would not have anything to do with her lewdness. When she cried to him, he said, I won't betray my master's trust. And he wrestled himself out of her hands, and the Bible said the garment was left in her hands. Isn't that right? It was left in her hands, and she accused Joseph, and she lied against Joseph. Jesus, the same way, Joseph was put in the dungeon. Put down in the dungeon, but later he come up with the keys to set at the right hand of Pharaoh to have the food to feed the nations. When the great famine was on, Jesus wrestled. The world laid hold on him, and the world held tight with him. And the world said, commit harlotry with me. But Jesus wrestled, and Jesus said, I will be faithful to my Father. I will be faithful to my Master. And he wrestled until the inner man pulled himself loose from the outer garment and left it hanging in the hands of the wicked world and went away. He went into the dungeon for it. He went down into the dungeon. He went down among the dead. He went down into the place of the flame, the fire. But there came a day when he came up with the keys, hallelujah. And today he's got the keys to death and to hell. And he's standing yonder at the right hand of God in the day of the famine of life. And he's got the power of life in his hand to give you the bread of life if you'll call upon his name tonight. So then, when we think about this great wonderful thing, why do men die? It's because their minds are programmed wrong. Their minds are programmed wrong. From Adam's fall, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, and everything orbits around God's word, just like everything does around the sun and the natural. Nothing can escape the word, thou shalt die. When a child is born, thou shalt die. When a child is born, thou shalt die unto 100 generations. Thou shalt die, my son, thou shalt die because of sin, for it is appointed unto man once to die. Thou shalt die. But Jesus came and changed it. He reprogrammed the mind. And the word of God came forth and put on flesh and dwelt among us. Hallelujah. That same word that said thou shalt die, it came and put on flesh and said thou shalt live. For Jesus is the beginning of the creation of God, not Adam. Adam is the beginning of death, but Jesus is the beginning of life. And as Jesus walked, that word reprogrammed the minds. And that word said, he that heareth my words and believeth on me hath passed from death unto life. If thou canst believe, thou canst live. Thou canst live. Thou canst live. And ye shall never come into condemnation.
For thou art passed from death unto life. Thou shalt live. And old Paul kept on a preaching and picked up the word when Jesus went away and said, behold, I show you a mystery. Don't go to sleep. But we shall not all sleep, hallelujah, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, from mortality to immortality, hallelujah, from this corruptible to incorruptible, from this terrestrial to celestial. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Lazarus is asleep. I go to awake him, Jesus said. But Paul said, it's not necessary to sleep anymore. Let me say this. Why does the men die? But they say, Brother Pike, it is appointed unto man once to die. But the Bible said God heard the groaning of the prisoners. And God looked down from heaven. It said God heard the groaning of the prisoners. And God looked down from heaven. And God loose them that was appointed unto death. Come on, folks. Somebody said, well, I know the Bible said that, but that means. All right, what does it mean? Then you know, you tell me. If that means, who was he talking to? What was he talking about? You said he's talking about them dead folks. Well, you never heard dead folks groan in your life. Come on now. When you ever heard a dead man groan? The Bible said he heard the groaning of the prisoners. And he loosed them that was appointed unto death. He loosed them that was appointed unto death. Isn't that right? God, when did he loose them? He loosed them at Calvary. How did he loose them? Jesus said, I beheld Satan or Lucifer as lightning fall from heaven. I have destroyed Lucifer. I have destroyed Lucifer. I have destroyed him that hath power over death. I have destroyed him. But you say, but Brother Pike, Lucifer is still around down there in your world, but not up here where we live. Glory to God, he was booted out from up here. Rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For the Bible teaches that you pass from death unto life. And the Bible said God hath translated you into the marvelous kingdom of your God. By his spirit, your inner man has gone into that great wonderful kingdom of the living God. Hallelujah. And greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is within you than that cancer. Greater is he that is within you than that disease. Greater is he that is within you than that oppression. Greater is he that is within you than the poverty. Greater is he that is within you. For behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy, and to as many as believe, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even as to as many as believed on his name. Do you believe on his name tonight? Do you believe on his name tonight? Do you? Can I program your mind to think right? Can I program your mind to think right? Believest thou this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe what I'm saying tonight? Can you believe this? Can you think these thoughts tonight? You can feed off of the fruits of life. You can feed off of the fruits of your thoughts, and the fruits of your thoughts will present life to you, and it will give you life. Can you believe this tonight? Can you believe this tonight? Can you believe these words tonight? Jesus said, my words are spirit, and they're alive. Hallelujah. Can you hear my words tonight? Can you hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church? Can you hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church tonight? Can you hear? Oh, glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. There's some people hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church tonight. I know that they are because I feel the repercussion of it. I feel the anointing. I feel the Holy Ghost. There's somebody tonight, some people tonight, some people in my midst even here tonight that's receiving this wonderful word of faith tonight. Have you passed from death unto life? You'll say, Brother Pike, I'm born the Son of God. No, I beg your pardon, not in the first birth. Adam was not born the Son of God. He was made in that image, but he lost it. He was born a man. And in Adam all die. But to as many as believe, to as many as believe, gave he power to become. Gave he power to become. You say, what kind of power? You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. What kind of power is that? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ will change you into a God. The Spirit of Christ on the inside will change you into a God. Do you believe that? The Spirit of Christ will change you into a God. You say, I've got the Spirit of Christ. Why not think like Christ then? According to your thinking, according to the measure of your thinking, Jesus had a mind of the fullness of God. He thought in the fullness that he was God, and what did he become? God without measure. God without measure. Somebody said, but now wait a minute, Brother Pike, you can't be thinking wrong. The Bible said to as many as be perfect, let them be thus minded. Thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God. Let this mind be in you also. David said, stir up that pure mind. Jesus said, you are gods. Is that right? Moses, I made you God unto the people. Wasn't that what the Lord said? I made you God unto the people. Is that right? Let this mind be in you. What kind of mind? He said, you have the minds of Christ. You have the minds of Christ. Now are you listening? You have the minds of Christ. How then should I think? How then should I think? Jesus believed. He grew in wisdom. He grew in stature till he knew that he was God Almighty in the fullness, in the earth, in the earth. You say, but Brother Pike, no buts about it. He said, you're bone of my bone. You're flesh of my flesh. He said, you're my body, members in particular. He said, it's not I that live, but Christ that liveth within me, Paul said. And the life I live by the Son of God. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? When you were buried in the name of Jesus Christ, you was buried into his death. And the Bible said as many as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Have put on Christ. And what is Christ? The wedding garment. The wedding garment. The body of righteousness. He, our righteousness, when he appears. He, our righteousness. Have you put on Christ Jesus tonight? Have you got him on? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the desire or the lust thereof. Have you put him on tonight, folks? Have you put him on tonight? Hallelujah. That Christ Spirit in you makes you an eternal God. It's going to break out in your flesh and bones, and you're going to outshine the noonday sun. You're going to outshine the brightness of the noonday sun. It's going to be the greatest thing that ever happened to you, for that woman was clothed with the sun. Hallelujah. I wish we had more time. But we've done took a good long while tonight. Can you stand with me? Just so many things that we need to say. You know what, folks? When your thinking becomes so, your mind becomes so programmed that your thoughts are of such that you begin to think according to your measure of the mind of Christ as to who you are, what a day that will be. What a day. What a day that will be. Oh, my brother, get as much of that mind as you can. Get as much of that mind as you can. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, this is a simple salvation. All you got to do is believe and be saved. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. But old Brother Paul said, I'm pressing forward to the prize and to the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. He said, I count all my learning but as dung that I might obtain the excellency of the knowledge of God. Get all of the knowledge of Jesus that you can. You say, what's that going to do to you? It'll make a king out of you. It'll make a king out of you. There was 24 elders around the throne, 24 kings. There was 12 more kings, he said, that'll sit upon thrones and rule with me when I judge the 12 tribes of Israel, speaking of them apostles. In the book of Revelation, the Bible said he hath made us kings and priests unto our God. Isn't that right? Kings and priests unto our God. He hath made us kings and priests unto our God. They will rule 5 cities, 10 cities, and the kings of that new earth will come in and out the beautiful gates of New Jerusalem, and they will put their crowns down at his lovely feet. Can you be a king? Are you a king? Are you a ruler? Are you a son of God? Get as much of the mind of Christ as you can, because according to the mind of Christ that you get, that will determine your measure. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, being children, being in the feminine perspective, being in the male perspective with God. What would you like to do? What would you like to do? I would like to get all that I can, wouldn't you? Hallelujah. Them boys didn't lay aside everything for nothing. They didn't lay aside everything for nothing. Praise God. Somebody said, well, I'll be contented if I just get there. I will too. But inasmuch as I can get there with both pockets full, I'd rather do that. I'd rather do that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Somebody said, I'd be satisfied if I could shake hands with a millionaire. I would, but I'd be better satisfied if I could shake hands and golf with both pockets full. Wouldn't you? Speaking naturally, wouldn't you? No, I wouldn't care for that side of it. The Lord has blessed me naturally. But if I was a natural man, that's the way I'd feel about it. All right, let's sing us a song together now. It's my happy privilege to be here and speak to you concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ. To talk about this wonderful unveiling. And when the voice sounds, the secret shall be finished. The mystery shall be finished. For in the days of the voice, in the days of the voice, and in 11 chapter, the 15th verse, and the voice sounded, and is the recording of the 11th chapter, the 15th verse, according to the recording, when it sounded, it must have been right at the end time. Though it records the sounding of it in the 15th chapter or the 11th chapter or the 15th verse, yet it must have had reference to the very time of the end, because just as quick as that angel sounded, there was a voice that followed. It had to be the end time, because the voice immediately said, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. Like the little book we wrote, the fullness of time, the fullness of time. I say this sometimes so that people can better understand. God wrought a work in his foreknowledge. He conceived a plan. He wrought a work. He done something in his foreknowledge. He done something for humanity. It was instigated in the beginning of the world, before the world ever was, in the foreknowledge of God. It was manifested at Calvary, placed on exhibit through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And it is now here at the end of the world, in the end of the church ages, comprehended, Paul said, the heights, the depths, the widths, and the length. Instigated before the world ever was, manifested at Calvary, comprehended in the end time. The comprehension is the part that really does the job. That the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you might be partakers of the benefits of the foreknowledge of God. For ye are elect, ye are elect, ye are justified, sanctified, glorified, predestinated by the foreknowledge. In the end time it is comprehended, because from Calvary through the church ages we are tutored toward the comprehension, that we may comprehend, that when we do comprehend, our bodies will be changed from this corporal body to a celestial body, that we be changed from men to gods through comprehending. That is by faith, Enoch. was translated that he should not see death. By faith, his mortal body, this mortality was swallowed up. This mortality was swallowed up, Paul said. By faith, this mortality was swallowed up by immortality. By faith. By faith. By faith. Enoch went away. What are we going to do tonight? What are we going to do tonight? It's by faith, my brother. Faith cometh by the knowing. Knowing is that of the hearing, and hearing is that of the word. To understand what we know. You love him tonight? I want to say again to you that have never made a commitment to God. If you've never made the commitment, that great almighty commitment, if you've never made it, make it. I am persuaded, said Paul, that God is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that great day. If you've not made the commitment, let me encourage you tonight to make the commitment. Will you make the commitment tonight? Will you make the commitment tonight? Hallelujah. You love him tonight? You love him tonight? Do you know? Do you truthfully know tonight that Jesus has saved your soul? Do you? Do you know that tonight? Hallelujah. Okay, let's sing this little chorus we sang last night, "When Jesus Reached Down His Hand for Me." You know, I like that little chorus because he had to reach a long ways to get me. A long ways. When he reached down his hand for me. Oh, when he reached the way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or his Son. When he reached down his hand for me, when my Savior reached down for me. Oh, when he reached the way down for me, I was lost and undone without God or his Son. When he reached down his hand for me. You love Jesus tonight.
And my Savior.
Do you love him tonight?
Reached down for me.
Just before we close,
yes, when he reached,
if you'd like to have me pray for you or with you tonight, I want you to step out here for just a minute. Now, I've kept you. I'm a little late tonight.
And done without God. Oh,
just a little late coming.
When he reached down his hand for me.
You know, it is so wonderful.
And
folks, it is so wonderful.
From that heaven,
it is so wonderful. To think upon
I
Jesus.
Blind, oh, so blind,
Paul the Apostle,
as could be,
he made this statement one time. He said, you know,
when my Savior,
the glory,
peace, joy, and
that
love,
breath-taking, spectacular
down his
glory that is to be revealed
me.
Within us. He said, there is no comparison with these things in the earth.
For me,
it's so greatly,
oh yes,
so majestically, towers so mightily
down his hand,
above all of the things of the world, that there is no comparison of this glory that you have in earthen vessels that is to be revealed on the inside of you. Do you have that heavenly treasure in your treasure chest tonight? Do you have it in your treasure chest, beloved friend, tonight? Do you have this great Holy Spirit that I feel tonight? You say, Brother Pike, do you feel it? I feel it tonight. I feel it tonight. The Bible said, if the Spirit be in you that raised up Jesus from the dead, he shall by the Spirit which dwelleth in you also quicken your mortal body. Your mortal body can feel the quickening, this great, wonderful quickening. Do you feel the quickening tonight? You may be a believer, as I've said, from night to night. But if you don't have the Spirit, you don't have the power. If you don't have the power, you can't become a son of God. To as many as believe, if you truly believe, if you truly believe, to as many as truly believe, he gave the seal of their faith, which is the seal, the Holy Spirit. If you truly believe, you can have the seal tonight. You can have the seal tonight. Don't you love him? Harden not your heart. The Bible said, harden not your heart, as they did in the days of the provocations in the wilderness. Harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. Get your mind off of women. Get your mind on God. Get your mind off of men. Get your mind on God. Get your mind off of materialistic things. Get your mind on God. Get your mind off of money. Get your mind on God. Get your mind off of frolic. Get your mind on God. Get your mind off of worldly entertainment. Get your mind on God. It's a sad thing to think that these things put man into bondage, weave webs about men, and cause people to be lost, and cause people to be taken into the powers of Satan. You know, the devil, he weaves a neat little web, and that little web that he weaves, it sparkles with the dewdrops of enticement. And the sparkling of those dewdrops of enticement draw men and women until they are stuck fast in the web. It looks pretty. It glitters. It sparkles like the dewdrops of the morning. But when the Spirit is caught in the web, then after the Spirit is caught in the web, or after the fly is caught in the web, then the spider closes in for the kill. He closes in for the kill. Once they're caught in the web, they close in. Satan closes in for the kill. How sad, how pitiful that men are caught in those kind of things. Aren't you glad you're Christian tonight? Aren't you glad you're son of God tonight? Aren't you glad that Jesus is with you tonight? That you have power to overcome. Power to overcome those evil things. Power to keep your soul. You know, the Bible says, he that is born of God, he keepeth himself. He keepeth himself. He keepeth himself. He that is born of God, he keepeth himself. He keepeth himself. And the evil one toucheth him not. The evil one toucheth him not. The evil one toucheth him not. He is without spot. He is without blemish. He is a perfect church. He is that which is perfect. No spots, no wrinkles, no blemish. Because he keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. While you're standing here tonight, if you can lift up your hearts, lift up your hands to Jesus. Folks, you don't know who you are. You don't know how great and how mighty that you are tonight. You don't know how great, what a great people you are. You don't know what a great people that you are. What a great and a mighty people. So great a people. People that have the power to become gods. People that are gods. People that live on and on and on. People that live and never die. Live and never die. What a people. What a people. Tonight you're the most privileged people in all of the world. For your hearts are hearts of understanding. Jesus said it's not given unto the world. It is not given unto the world. It is not given unto them to understand. It is not given unto them to understand. It is not given unto them to understand. Why, Lord, do you speak unto these people in parables? Because it is not given unto them to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But unto you, beloved friend, it is given. It is given unto them to hear the gospel, that they might be guilty in the day of judgment. It is given unto them because all of the world must hear the gospel, that they be condemned in the day of judgment. But it is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom, for it is the mysteries of the kingdom that will translate the church and cause the church not to see death. They can hear the gospel. Many evangelists are preaching the gospel. Many evangelists are preaching the gospel. Many preachers by television and radio and across the nation are preaching the gospel. For it is given unto the people to hear the gospel. But the church must understand the mysteries. It is given unto you as the church to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God, that you might be translated, that you should not see death. What a wonderful opportunity. What a wonderful thing that's taking place. I want you to lift your hands again. Close your eyes, if you will, tonight. And I want to pray with you tonight. If thou canst believe, Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. If thou canst believe, do you believe tonight? I know that you believe. I know that you believe. I want to pray with you tonight. If you believe, I want you to pray with me tonight as I pray. The Bible said concerning the minister, whosoever you bless shall be blessed. He said concerning the minister, whosoever you curse shall be cursed. He said concerning the minister, whatever you bind on earth, I will bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I will loose in heaven. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins that you remit shall be remitted. And whosoever sins that you retain, they shall be retained. So then tonight, as I pray for you, I want you to believe tonight. I want you to believe tonight. Father of heaven, in the wonderful name of the Son of God, I look unto you tonight. How I love you tonight, Jesus, not because I am worthy, but because thou art worthy. Not because I have sought thee, O Lord, but because you have sought me. Thus thou hast drawn me unto you. Forgive me
my sin. Heavenly Father, forgive me my wrongs. Forgive these people their sins tonight. Forgive them their wrongs. For I forgive all men their trespasses against me, Heavenly Father, that you might forgive my trespasses tonight. Dear God, make this a holy place. Make this a holy place. Lord, we've dedicated this arena to you for a holy place. May it bubble with the enthusiasm of God and the saints of God. May it be filled with the glory of God and the power of God. May the richness of God be here. May every soul tonight, oh God, enlarge upon this wonderful spiritual outpouring of Jesus. And dear God, may every person be healed tonight. May your spirit be healed. Oh God, let it be here. And God, tonight, heal. As you look down from heaven, Father, hear my prayers tonight. Look down because of the righteousness of your Son, Jesus. Look down because of Calvary. And heal tonight, Jesus. Heal tonight. I feel you healing tonight, Jesus. I ask you to heal tonight. Move over this congregation, Jesus, and heal tonight. May your spirit be here, and may the power of God be here tonight, and may you heal tonight. May every yoke be broken, Jesus. May every bondage be taken away. Oh, God of heaven, and heal tonight. Father, speak over the audience tonight. Father, to heal these people tonight. Father, fill them with your spirit. God, and heal in Jesus' name. Let the glory of God be here. Let the power of God be here. Oh Lord, supply every need. Fill every broken heart tonight with the joy and jubilance of Christian living. Father, let them realize the real treasure. Oh God, grant it in Jesus' name tonight. Grant it in Jesus' name tonight. Grant it in Jesus' name tonight, Father. Grant it in Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm coming. Hallelujah. When he reached down his hand for me. Oh, when he reached way down for me. I was lost, I was undone, without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me, sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete, while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul, for I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep over the wild, stormy deep, God, in Jesus' name. Uramanda Ramashida Barianda Ramosanda Ramastaya. Ulamandalianda Laliasanda Ramoshanda Ramastaya. Undalianda Lamasanda Ramosanda Ramastaya. Uramanda Ramasianda Ramastaya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, heal and save and forgive tonight. Touch Joe in a wonderful way. Touch Joe in a wonderful way tonight.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Coming down from the Father.
Hallelujah.
Up above.
Don't you love him tonight? The stream is flowing from Calvary. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I ask you to heal David tonight. Forgive David tonight. Deliver David tonight. May the great hand of the living God be upon David tonight. Heal in the name of Jesus. Forgive in the name of Jesus. Anoint in the name of Jesus. Activate this body with the great, wonderful jubilance of God. Lord, rejuvenate this body with the great joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. As I feel it right now, I feel your blessings, Jesus. I feel your blessings, Jesus. I feel the joy, the wonderful jubilance of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, touch our brother with your blessings tonight. Anoint him with the power of God tonight. Let the Spirit of the living God be in him. Let the Spirit of the living God flow through this body. Let the Spirit of the living God energize this body and heal tonight and forgive tonight and bless tonight. Hear me, Heavenly Father, in the name of your lovely Son, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, my precious brother that's been standing here, Lord, and even through the service, longing for a touch from you, praying, believing, and trusting that you heard his prayer, I ask you to bless him in the name of the Son of God tonight. Bless him, and I feel you blessing him now. Anoint him with that great spirit that I feel, that great quickening, that great cry. Forgive our sins, Father. Forgive every mistake. Heal tonight. Save tonight. Bless tonight. Bless my brother tonight. In the name of Jesus, do something special. Hear me, Jesus. Hear me in Jesus' name, Father. Hallelujah. God bless you. Hallelujah. I feel Jesus tonight. I feel Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Pray with me, Ed. Father, in the name of Jesus, as I pray with Ed tonight, Lord, we agree together, Lord, that you're going to bless this congregation, that you're going to heal the sick, Father, that you're going to cast out the devils, Father, that you're going to drive away every unclean spirit, and Father, you're going to forgive every sin, and you're going to break the yoke tonight, Jesus. I feel you doing it. Hallelujah. Bless Ed. Anoint Ed in the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. With your wonderful blessings. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's sing it again. A stream is flowing down from Calvary. A stream is flowing. Can you come up here, Keith? It cleanses me from sin and shame. In Jesus' name. Oh, a stream is flowing from Calvary. You know, here's another young fella that God saved the other night. It's just been a few weeks ago that God saved him. And he gave his heart to God, really, genuinely gave his heart to God. He loves Jesus. You know, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? God is saving people. God is delivering people. And you know, we that are closer to the light are the blindest the most. Isn't that right? But God is miraculously, wonderfully answering prayer. And God is doing marvelous things for us. It's wonderful to be a Christian. It's wonderful to have you here tonight. I pray that you'll be with us tomorrow night. I trust that every one of you will come back invite somebody to come and be with us. Let's have a wonderful time tomorrow for Jesus. You know, last Sunday night we had a good crowd of people here. And let's pray that God will send out the folks tomorrow. Even though there's churches everywhere having services, let's pray that God will bless us here tomorrow. Tell somebody to come and have a good time with us tomorrow. Can you do that? I want you to lift your hands up with me just one more time now. I feel that God has broke the yoke. I feel that God has healed. I feel that God is blessed. And tonight, I want Keith to pray for you. One more prayer. That God will heal you. God will save you. God will forgive you. And God will touch your body tonight in a great way. Just before Keith prays for you, we'll pray for Carl's wife. Yeah, they sent a little note. Said she was very sick and she needed prayer. We'll pray for her. And after this, Keith is going to dismiss us as he prays for the sick. Praise God. Praise God. Can you come up here, Carl? Praise God. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Lord, as we lay hands upon this person, Thou art able to heal, Thou art able to forgive, Thou art able to bless. Heal in the name of Jesus. And I feel your healing right now. Heal because of your Son Jesus. Heal because of Calvary, because of the spilt blood of the Son of God. Heal and forgive sin. Heal this woman in Jesus' name. Heal her, O God. Forgive every sin and heal her body in the name of the Son of God tonight. I ask you to do it. Father, touch Carl tonight. Bless Carl tonight. Heal his body. Father, if there be anything wrong with this body tonight, heal and forgive sins tonight. Move everything out of the life of this couple, Lord God, to bless in the name of the Son of God. Bless them and their children. Bless their home in the wonderful name of the Son of God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you lift your hands with me now as Keith prays tonight? Can you do that?